Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
From the Times and the Sunday Times, this is The Story. I'm Manveen Rana. In a community centre in Manchester, a group of children are sitting around a table, their eyes tightly shut, small hands folded over little crystal pyramids.
Close your eyes, ask. Take the energy. See what energy's coming off it.
One little girl has slightly opened her eyes to sneak a peek at Phil, the self-styled shaman who's explaining that crystals can transmit energy.
Let's see who gets some energy off it. Hello?
You want a little bit? I'm just doing this right now, yeah.
It's 2:30 p.m. on a Tuesday in January, and these children should be in school. The problem is, they are. For one whole month, the Times reporter Tom Ball went undercover at an unofficial school in Manchester, where on 4 days a week, students who are no longer registered in mainstream education are being taught a very different sort of curriculum.
A lot of the people who worked there were adherents to a conspiracy known as the Great Reset Theory. The purpose of the school is that they are prepared for when this supposed apocalypse occurs, and that they will be equipped to deal with whatever the World Economic Forum and Bill Gates has to throw at them.
At the end of the day, we're bringing up a generation of children that do know the truth. They won't have to be woken up because they've never been asleep.
The story today, undercover at Britain's conspiracy school.
My name is Tom Ball and I am a reporter for The Times.
Tom, we're talking to you today about a very unusual school in Manchester called Universal Kids. Can you just start by telling us how you first heard about it?
Up until very recently, I lived in Manchester, and every Friday on the corner of my street, a bunch of middle-aged guys with yellow placards would gather and they would tell anybody that would listen that COVID was a scam, that vaccines kill people, that 5G killed people, and all the rest of it. And normally I'd walk past, ignore them, but every now and then I would pick up a copy of The Light, which is a newspaper which peddles conspiracies and which they would give out for free. And I'd read it just as a curiosity more than anything else. But one day towards the end of last year, I picked up a copy and I saw that they were advertising in the ads at the back for a qualified teacher. The ad didn't go into any detail about what the institution that was looking for the teacher was, other than to say rather cryptically that it was a self-governing small community learning provision. But on the basis of the fact that no credible educator could be looking for a member of staff from the readership of The Light, I thought it was worth an application.
Yeah, I mean, that really is intriguing. But also the idea of a self-governing small community learning provision. I mean, that's a mouthful. So it's not actually a school, or it's not calling itself a school. Is it technically one?
The definition of a school is a slippery thing. So Universal Kids, which is the name of this place, outwardly does not describe itself as a school. But to its parents who send their kids there, to prospective parents, to teachers, it does describe itself as a school. And it would like to think of itself as a school, I would say. However, the fact that it's unregistered with Ofsted, with the local authorities, with the DfE, means that it would get into a lot of trouble were it to be ostensibly operating as a school but not registered with those bodies.
Ah, so it's unregistered. It's not obviously billing itself as a school, although it does privately. We're going to call it a school just because if we start calling it a self-governing, what's it? We'll be here all night.
Yes.
But you started looking into this, having seen the ad, you start looking into this institution. What can you learn about it? I mean, what's out there publicly?
Not a great deal. It's got an Instagram page and it also has a website, but the website also doesn't tell you a great deal. But it does detail the sorts of things that are taught there. I think if you were to at first glance, look at its website, you'd think, oh, okay, a sort of slightly left field education facility of some sort. And you can see that there's quite a heavy emphasis on new age type things. So, for example, they say that they teach kids about homeopathy, about moon cycles, about foraging, sacred drumming. But then you also see that they teach things like survival skills as well. So it's a strange and slightly baffling mixture of things that there are on offer.
Definitely a long way away from the national curriculum here.
Yeah, I mean, they do also say that they teach certain curriculum subjects, but yeah, for the most part, it seems to have this sort of new age emphasis on it.
You applied. How soon did you hear back?
I think it was about a week or 2 weeks later that I heard back from them. They sent me an email, invited me to have an initial Zoom meeting, and that was sent by the school's founder and head teacher, a woman called Ladan Ratcliffe. So Ladan had been a teacher in the mainstream state education system in and around Greater Manchester for about 20 years. I think in around 2016, she then went to China with her husband and ran an independent school out there and then came back about 3 years later. In the following year, in the midst of COVID, Universal Kids was born. She told me during one of our early meetings that she had the idea to set the school up while on an anti-lockdown march.
And why did she feel the need to set it up? What was she hoping Universal Kids would achieve? What's its sort of big belief system, its ethos? What's it trying to do that other schools don't?
She spoke a lot about the fact that she felt mainstream education sapped the life out of children. She wanted to make a school which was primarily focused around the kids, and the word that she used a lot was autonomous. Autonomous in the sense that these kids had some say in what they were learning. If they didn't like something, then they wouldn't have to do it. But I think she also, from a sort of more conspiracy point of view, felt that the state was actively harming children through the education, and that creating somewhere like Universal Kids was providing a kind of parallel society in which to raise kids. A lot of the people who worked there were adherents to a conspiracy known as the Great Reset Theory, which essentially posits that a group of politicians, bureaucrats, financiers like Bill Gates, but primarily the World Economic Forum, are plotting against humanity, and the reset element comes into it because they believe that this cabal of people are trying to depopulate the earth through manufactured catastrophes like the COVID pandemic, for example, or the war in Ukraine, as a means by which to then set up this kind of authoritarian regime in which they can dominate the planet.
Wow. So this is the institution you're going into. What role had you actually applied for? You know, when you arrive, what are you meant to be?
I was a teacher, teaching yoga in the mornings, and then I was also teaching a lot of Chinese medicine and ancient Chinese philosophy, all stuff that I wasn't particularly au fait with to begin with.
I was going to say, are you an expert secretly in Chinese medicine?
I know more about it now than I did before, but that's not saying much. I mean, as a testament to how poorly these kids are being taught, I was looking up most of this stuff on my phone beforehand.
Googling it.
Yeah, literally.
So you land up here at this would-be school. Just give us a sense of how it works. I mean, is this a full-time school? How many pupils do they have?
When I was there, there were 13 children aged between 8 and 14. The school operates for 4 days a week. One was online, one was in a community centre in Stockport, and two were in a private property that up until recently had been a nightclub. It's this very dilapidated old Victorian pile. There was rainwater dripping through the ceilings. There was graffiti everywhere. I was reading a review of the nightclub from a couple of years ago, which described it as proper manky. The kids were, during their break times, they had the run of the place. They were sort of running around the stage area, playing on various fixtures. Not the ideal location for a group of children to be taught, I would say.
No, that's not the sort of place you'd want to leave kids to have the run of the place. Tell me about your first day going into this environment. What was that like?
So my first day was at the community centre in Stockport.
Working your way up to the nightclub.
Yeah, that came a bit later. I parked my car around the corner, walked up to the entrance and knocked on the door.
Hello, I'm Tom.
Hi.
I'm here to meet Ladan.
All right, come on in.
Hey.
Come on in. I'm Justine, nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
I'm just speaking to
family.
Okay. I'm Tom. Yeah.
Hi, Ladan. Hey, hi. Nice to see you.
Lovely to meet you. Yeah, come on in and get warm.
Hey.
Hey, Ladan.
Hello.
We got a new student. Not student.
I'm a little bit older than you, I'm afraid.
And there was Ladan speaking with some of the other parents. There was a yoga class to begin with that another teacher was taking.
Right, so we're going to counterbalance that. So we can't do one and not the other, so we're going to do the other side.
Oh,
okay. So focus on your spot. Find your spot. Spot, right. Bring it now to you up and down here.
So this is our schedule at the moment for this
term.
Okay.
So we've got, at the moment, we do.
And while that was going on, Ladan and I had a chat. And she spoke to me about the sort of things she wanted me to teach. And she emphasised that, you know, this is not going to be like the sort of teaching that you might be used to. We have a very different way of doing things here. But she sort of kept reassuring me, saying you'll get the hang of it eventually.
Coming up, Tom gets a lesson in alternative science from one of the teachers.
Number one cause of dementia is aluminium.
And aluminium's in the chemtrails?
Yeah.
That's in just a moment.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tom, you were describing going undercover in this sort of school called Universal Kids in Manchester. Tell us a bit about your fellow teachers.
There are quite a range of people. The business studies teacher runs a cryptocurrency business for conspiracy theorists.
Oh, wow.
The philosophy teacher is a squash coach at the National Squash Centre. And he told me whilst I was there that you could cure cancer by eating apricot kernels. And then there are people who had previously taught in mainstream schooling. For example, the art teacher, who I only knew as Red, had been a teacher at a school.
Is that what all the pupils call this teacher too? Red?
Yeah, she had red hair, I guess.
Uh-huh. Figures.
She taught at a girls' school in Stockport for many years. And to be honest, I quite liked her. I got on with her. She had a good sense of humour. She was very dry. And we were standing outside one day having a chat, and I was beginning to wonder if perhaps she'd managed to end up here by accident, because she just seemed quite sane. And then she looked up to the sky and saw the vapours that aeroplanes leave, and she said,
yeah.
Oh God, they're at it again. And I said, what do you mean? She said, it's the government, it's the chemtrails that they're trying to give us all Alzheimer's with.
What?
You say chemtrails are bad for Alzheimer's? For dementia,
yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Number one cause of dementia is aluminium.
And aluminium's in the chemtrails.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. So
hang on. These are the lines that crisscross the sky when planes have gone over. What did she think they were?
She told me that it was the MOD, and that these planes are releasing a vapour made from aluminium, the purpose of which is to give us all dementia.
Yeah. Look up HAARP, HAARP.
Okay.
It used to be a conspiracy theory.
Yeah.
It's like chemtrails, what rot. It's like, well, oh, it's easy, see that one? In fact, I showed my neighbour. There were two chemtrails, and then an ordinary commercial plane going in between them, whose tail was only that big. I said, see, that's a chemtrail.
Is this the sort of stuff that the kids are being taught? I mean, are they saying it in class? What do they think they want to be educating these kids to do? You know, what's their purpose?
As this same teacher, Red, said to me, the purpose of the school is A, as she said, to make sure that they're awake and alert to this evil cabal that's trying to subjugate the planet. And
so the rest of society is asleep.
Yeah.
They haven't seen the light yet.
Exactly, yeah. And the second purpose is that they are prepared for when this supposed apocalypse occurs, that they will be able to find their own food, hence why there are foraging lessons, that they'll be able to make their own medicine, hence why there's homeopathy lessons, and that they will be equipped to deal with whatever the World Economic Forum and Bill Gates has to throw at them.
Do they talk about this stuff, the World Economic Forum and Bill Gates, with the kids?
There were no sort of specific lessons whereby the kids were taught this kind of stuff, but naturally it did come out. So, for example, there was a cookery lesson and the kids were making biscuits made out of carrots. And
unusual.
Yeah, they were as disgusting as they sounded. And one of the kids asked, would you ever eat a cockroach?
Would you have a bar of cockroach or tons of carrots?
Well, I don't know, I've never eaten a cockroach.
And I never want to.
Well, you might have to.
You might have to.
If Klaus has his way.
Yeah.
Or Gates, Billy.
Yeah, they get their way.
If, you know, if Bill and Klaus get their way, then...
This is Bill Gates and Klaus Schwab, who set up the World Economic Forum at Davos.
Precisely, yeah. Two major bogeymen of the conspiracy movement. And they said, if Bill and Klaus have their way, then you may all be eating cockroaches in the future. And she went on to say, that's why they're showing us I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here.
That's why we've had Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here for X amount of years, isn't it? To get everyone used to it.
Get everyone used to the idea of eating.
So it doesn't look as mad when it says, right, who's
because they're trying to normalise the eating of insects. And
oh my God.
Yeah, and I mean, I that wasn't one that I'd heard at the time, but when I looked it up afterwards, it's quite a well-known conspiracy theory that the WEF, the World Economic Forum, is trying to force people to eat insects.
And this is something that the pupils are hearing very regularly. What's their version of history?
So in a history class, they were being taught about the Second World War. And in fact, this cookery class that I mentioned was a sort of war-themed cookery class whereby the kids were making the sort of recipes that people did during the Blitz. But the kids were also being taught about Anne Frank's diaries as well.
Hmm.
And I wasn't in the class for that, but I had heard two of the teachers discussing the lesson, and one of the teachers said to the other, oh, have you heard the one about how Anne Frank didn't actually write those diaries herself? And the other teacher said, no, I hadn't heard that. And she said, oh, well, you know, that's one that's knocking around. And I mean, that is a long-standing and quite well-known conspiracy theory, particularly amongst anti-Semitic circles.
What, this is basically Holocaust denial?
Yeah. The teacher that was talking about that, I think, had probably heard it from somewhere. I wasn't sure if she believed it herself, but it was something that she mentioned in passing. And I guess, you know, is a token to the fact that if you're in these circles, then you naturally pick up on these sorts of conspiracies, and often they can, their roots can be in very dark places such as this one.
From what you saw, what did the pupils make of the curriculum and the classes? I mean, did they buy into all of this?
I felt that the great irony of this place was that Ladan spoke a lot about how stifled kids were in the mainstream system, and how Universal Kids, by contrast, was a place for them to express themselves and learn what they wanted to learn, etc. But from what I saw, the kids were mostly pretty disengaged or perplexed by the stuff that they were being taught. And I quite often heard the kids say, I just don't understand why we're learning this. And there was one occasion when a guy called Phil came in with his box of crystals, the sort of crystal therapy, crystal healing lesson. And so these kids were given the crystals to hold, and he said, just put it over your third eye on your forehead.
Put that on your third eye. Close your eyes, tell me if you feel anything or see anything.
What can you see? What can you feel? And one little girl piped up, I can just feel a crystal on my forehead.
I feel a crystal on my forehead.
And he responded,
that'd be clever.
Don't be clever, which I thought was a kind of perfect encapsulation of their philosophy of learning, really.
Don't be clever.
Yeah.
Is Ofsted aware of this school?
No, they're not. It's been around for 3 years, but despite that, it's gone completely under the radar of both Ofsted and the local authorities, and that's very much how the school wanted to remain. I was interested to ask Ladan about that, about her interactions with the local authorities. And she told me that when parents were contacted by the local authorities, as they often are if they're homeschooling, Ladan told the parents not to specifically mention Universal Kids, but just to say that, you know, they're occasionally going to sports clubs or to socialise with their friends, and, you know, it wasn't anything kind of formalised. And that was the way that she said that they worked at the side of local authorities, in her words. I've contacted Ofsted and shared with them our findings, and they've told us that they are going to urgently open an investigation into the school. They described the findings as shocking, though not totally surprising. Ofsted are fully aware of the fact that there are hundreds of suspected unregistered schools operating in England, but they say that current laws aren't strong enough to be able to clamp down on the problem. The majority of those that they prosecuted have been faith schools, so schools operating in ultra-Orthodox Jewish Muslim communities. But increasingly, inspectors are starting to see these sorts of non-religious schools, which have this kind of anti-state ideology and sometimes conspiratorial ideology to them. So about a year ago, I did another investigation into another suspected illegal school called Hope Sussex, which is run by former members of the far right who also have a kind of conspiratorial ideology to them as well. And again, founded this school in the midst of anti-lockdown rallies during the pandemic.
I mean, again, really alarming. Why are there so many of these schools now? You know, what's going wrong? Is this the law that's to blame? What needs to change?
The wording of the law is quite general. So the wording of what constitutes an illegal school is quite imprecise, I would say. It has to be somewhere which is not registered with the authorities and which is providing full-time education to five or more children. But the problem is that there is no specificity with what full-time education means, so a lot of places can operate on the cusp of the law.
So this is 4 days a week, that might not qualify, and they don't have to register, they don't have to tell the authorities what they're doing.
Yeah, it's a very grey area, and Ofsted have repeatedly called for the government to implement a definition that is much more specific than that which already exists. And also the other thing is the fact that there is no register for homeschooled kids, which Labour has said at the start of this year it would bring in were it to be in government. And that would be a great help, because it would mean that Ofsted and local authorities could keep a much closer eye on what kids who are being educated at home are doing every day.
And Tom, when you went to Universal Kids and told them that actually you'd been a journalist undercover the whole time and told them about the piece you were writing, what was their response?
They denied that it was a school. They said that it was a parent-child community initiative and only operates for about 11 hours a week. Ratcliffe said that she strongly objected to the view that Universal Kids is training future conspiracy theorists. She said that the learning experiences we provide are based on natural law of the universe and ancient knowledge that's been omitted from mainstream education.
You were at Universal Kids. There's the place you mentioned in Sussex. You know, this is not a one-off problem. Why do you think these institutions are gaining ground? Why is there suddenly a growing demand for them?
I think a lot of it stems from the pandemic. A, because people were spending huge amounts of time on their computers, falling down these rabbit holes. But B, because some people felt that their liberties were being taken away from them when they were forced to live at home. And that was only reinforced when later the population was mandated to have vaccines. So if you're of a kind of conspiratorial anti-state bent, then that can be quite a potent combination. And it's no coincidence that both Universal Kids and Hope Sussex were forged in the midst of that pandemic year. But also, I mean, it's more broadly, it's a symptom of the information age that we live in. The propagation of untruths has been one of the major problems of the way that unfiltered information spreads on the internet, so that now you can have some crazy theory that was posted on an obscure Reddit forum be picked up and amplified on other social media channels, and then even ending up in somebody's mouth. And what's often been kind of subterranean and only really existing on the internet, now more and more is happening in real life. So you see people with yellow billboards on roundabouts telling you that the pandemic was a hoax. And then there was an astonishing study published last year by King's College London, which found that a quarter of people in Britain believe that the pandemic was probably or definitely a hoax. So more and more you're seeing these conspiracies come to fruition in real life.
I mean, that's astonishing. You spent a month at this school and watched how it was working. You know, there are a group of adults running the school. There are adults sending their children to this school, knowing what it's going to be teaching them. What were your reflections after the experience of what's going on there? Why are the adults doing this?
I'd initially felt that in their own way, through their own contorted logic, they were doing what they thought was best for their children. You know, if you genuinely believed that there was this great plot against humanity, then following that logic, you could conceivably say that they were doing what they thought was best. But then I think as time wore on and I was there for longer and longer, I changed my mind, because actually, you know, even if you do take that conspiracy as your starting point, these kids weren't learning anything. They spent much of the time being quite sort of nonplussed and perplexed by what they were being taught. And actually, I just came to see it as less of an act of altruism on behalf of their parents, and more their parents and these teachers just wanting to live out their convictions and imposing that upon these kids. Universal Kids would claim that they're raising these autonomous, young, independent people, but in fact, they are just raising kids who will lack life's most fundamental resource, and that's the truth.
That was the Times reporter, Tom Ball. There's so much more from Tom's month at Universal Kids that we weren't able to fit into this podcast, but you can read the whole investigation right now at thetimes.co.uk with a subscription. This episode was produced by Taryn Siegel. The executive producer was Kate Ford, and sound design was by Mal Lasseto. If you liked what you heard, do leave us a review wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening. Have a lovely weekend.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.